There are two themes in these reasons, which doesn't always happen in Lent. The first is the power of intercession. Moses interceded. He didn't, in our reading, they could have gone a little bit further, I think, or maybe it's in the other intercession, where Moses says, if you're going to blot them out, blot me out too. And that's what God wanted to hear. There's my man. He loves my people as much as I do. That's what he was looking for. So you have this text here, as you see. This in the prayer as we have it, there's an appeal to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And how you swore by your own self, saying, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and all this land that I promised. I will give your descendants. You promised. So the Lord relented in the punishment. You see how, if we learn from the Holy Spirit how to intercede, we step in there. We don't sit on the side and say, be nice to them. You see? And as I say, in the other text, he says, God says, leave me alone. I'm going to blot them out. And Moses says, if you blot them out, you have to blot me out too. You see identity? Now that's what Jesus did. He's so identified with us. Huh? And so this first text is the mystery of intercession. And we have enormous examples of this. Huh? Look at Sister Saint now, Faustina. How she interceded for the world. How she suffered so that her love would be very pure. And she carried the weight of this world. Look at Therese. Same thing, right? She said, I want to give my whole life as a victim to the merciful love of God. It's all bottled up in God. I want that love to get out. Let it pour through me. Let it course through me. And burn me up. And she suffered a lot, right? At one point she said, God, could you take it a little easier? You know? That's the love of God's people. And there are always saints among us who are interceding like that. Now, in chapter 5 of John, we have the last. Our Lord has been invoking witnesses. This all started, you may remember, when our Lord was at the pool of Siloam. And there was a man there, 38 years, crippled. And so when the water moved, he could never get there first. And nobody ever helped him. So our Lord said, you're healed. So now he's walking around carrying his mat, remember. And they say, we don't care about your healing. You're carrying that mat. And you say, look how narrow-minded. Well, that's supposed to help us have an examination of conscience. Are we narrow-minded? Do we judge people like that? Why don't we look at our hearts and see? Finally our Lord speaks and invokes these witnesses. If I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is not true. But there is another who testifies on my behalf. And I know that the testimony he gives on my behalf is true. And now he's going to start listing these witnesses. You sent emissaries to John, and he testified to the truth. I do not accept human testimony, but I say this so that you may be saved. But I have testimony greater than John's. The works that the Father gave me to accomplish, these works that I perform, testify on my behalf. Not just the works back then, all the works in our own lives. We are here this morning in this chapel, hearing these words, getting ready to feed on the body and blood of Christ. Why? Because we're so smart and virtuous? No. God brought us here to testify to his Son through the word, through the prayers of the church, through the sacraments. You see? Moreover, the Father has sent me, has testified himself, which we never heard his voice nor seen his form. And you do not have his word remaining in you. That's a challenge, isn't it? Do we lay hold of these words? Can they work in our heart all day so that we change? You see? Finally, you search the scriptures, the last of the witnesses, because you think you have eternal life through them. Even they testify on my behalf. But you do not want to come to me to have life. And so, and then he says, look, I don't accept human praise. And I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I came in the name of my Father, but you do not accept me. If another comes in his own name, you will accept him. Why? Less challenging. If God's talking to us, we better shape up. If it's this guy just telling us his ideas, well, we could take him or leave him. And so, and then, what's the obstacle? How can you believe when you accept praise from one another and do not seek the praise that comes from the only God? We're always trying to make sure everybody likes us and we're all popular and all that. Sometimes you just can't do it. You just can't do it. And finally then, do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who will accuse you is Moses, in whom you have placed your hope. For you, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. In other words, do you have in your heart that willingness to cede, to yield to the truth, or not? Augustine says, you know, men love the truth when it enlightens them, but they hate it when it accuses them. Are we willing to hear both truths?